Today's message is Encourage Yourself by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Y'all need to understand this, which will hopefully try to help us have mercy with people. When people are hurt, they lash out. Bishop Jake said it this way: logic never undresses in the face of pain. Logic never undresses in the face of pain. In other words, when people are hurting, they don't do reasonable things. When people are hurting, they're not logical. Somebody will cuss you out when they're hurting, including your wife while she's having the baby, and she loves you, but she's in pain right now. Okay? Logic never undresses in the face of pain. And when people are hurting, they lash out. When people are hurting, they want somebody to blame. And in this case, they're blaming David. So David is distressed. He's distressed not just because he's lost. He's distressed that the folks he thought were with him had turned against him. That's a double whammy of his distress. He said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, why did David have to encourage himself? Number one, everybody else was crying too. Sometimes people mean well, they just don't do well. When everybody else crying too, they busy wiping their own tears. It's not that they don't love you. They're crying too. Secondly, David had to encourage himself because others around him, verse 4 said, had no power to help. They had no more power. No more power to weep. They were physically, mentally, emotionally spent. They had nothing left. And sometimes people, when you get discouraged, you get spent. There's nothing left. Nothing left to give. And you got to know how to recharge yourself. Because you can't keep running on empty. Thirdly, David had to encourage himself because people were dependent on him. He was responsible. And as I said, when we're in leadership positions, people are dependent upon us. That's the weight of leadership. The weight of leadership in any level, whether it's a parent or whether it's a church leader, is that many times people are dependent on us. But at the end of the day, people, you can't depend on what's broken. The Bible says confidence in an unfaithful man and is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. In other words, and I'm not talking about the unfaithful man. I'm saying when a foot is out of joint and when a tooth is broken, you chew on the side that you don't have the cavity. You can't use that one. When a foot or a leg is broken, you compensate by trying not to put weight on that one. But here's the deal, y'all. Here's the other. But if that foot or that leg don't get healed, this one is not meant to carry the weight that you're supposed to carry. That's why sometimes somebody just needs one knee surgery. But by the time they have the knee surgery and the other one recover, now they need the other one because they've been compensating so much on the other one that now they've worn the other one out. So what I'm saying, that's why the Bible said, even when we get discouraged, we got to get healed up because the weight now going to be too much on somebody else. We got to spread this load. Otherwise, we end up being what's called dysfunctional and enablers. Someone else is not functioning, so we don't function. And when people function outside of their role, we are dysfunctional. Third thing, reason why David had to encourage himself, is because it was the only way they were going to be able to get up and pursue. At the end of the day, crying wasn't going to get the kids back. Are y'all listening to me? At the end of the day, crying was not going to get the wives back. The stuff is gone. Wasn't that they were trying to get back? But mainly their wives, their kids, their family. Crying was all only could be used as release, as a temporary state to go through, not to go to. It was the only way you can get up and pursue. If you are discouraged or lack courage, you can't and won't pursue anything until you encourage yourself. In other words, you got to get up so you can move on. Say that with me. Say, I must get up so I can move on. Because if you don't get up, you're going to get stuck in that place. You're going to stay right there. And you won't ever have everything God said you're going to have. You won't possess everything God said you're going to possess. You won't be able to do everything God said. I have to get through this period of discouragement as quickly as I can. Yes, it's common to the human experience. Yes, it's common to human existence. I'm not the first one. I'm not the only one that been discouraged. Nevertheless, I got to get over this thing because God got things for me to do. I got places to go. I got people to see. I got souls to save. I got destiny to pursue. I got to get past this place of discouragement. Devil, you are a lie. I will not die in this situation. Three steps to encouraging yourself. Number one, you got to stop crying and start talking. Got to stop crying and start talking. Every now and then I have myself a good old cry. You, Pastor? Yes, me. And right now I ain't talking about a cry in the spirit because the Spirit of the Lord moving on me. I'm talking about a good old, I'm discouraged, I need your help, Jesus. Why don't you leave me New Jersey cry? I didn't ask for this. I didn't have to do this. Every now and then, some of y'all looking shy. It ain't days. It's probably for a good minute or two. Because I know I can't stay here. I use crying like wringing out a mop. You got to wring it out so you can keep doing the work. That's what crying is. Wring it out, then keep doing the work. And there's been times I have cried to God. And then get the ugly cry on too. Yeah. See, I'm just being honest and transparent. Brothers ain't going to tell you all that. I did a teaching at our man to man about a man cry. David cried. Moses cried. And said, God, what am I, a nursing father? I didn't give birth to all these people that they should become sucking on me. They're going to suck me dry, God. Moses got discouraged as they were at the Red Sea. He gets discouraged. We know he got discouraged. We know he started crying. He wrote the book. He didn't tell us. He just tells God's part like his protege, Joshua. Moses gets discouraged. And the next word we read, Moses writes, and the Lord said, why criest thou after me? Tell the people to go forward. Then he stands before the people and says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians you see today, you will see no more forever. And the music said, oh, oh, oh. Wasn't no music when he cried. You got to stop crying and start talking. Yes, you got to talk to yourself. You got to encourage yourself by talking. Did y'all know the Bible tell y'all to talk to yourself? How many of y'all know the Bible tell you to talk to yourself? How many of y'all think the Bible don't tell you to talk to yourself? How many of y'all think this is a trick question? I ain't saying nothing. The Bible tells you to talk to yourself. Look at Ephesians 5th chapter verse 19. Ephesians 5 verse 19. It says, speaking to what? Yourself. Now, folks say you're crazy if you talk to yourself. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself so you won't go crazy. It's those folks who are crazy who should have talked to themselves before they got to this point. Next time somebody see you talking to yourself and say, what's wrong with you? Say, child, I'm just trying to keep them going crazy. Because sometimes you talk to yourself so you can talk to yourself out of something you're getting ready to do. Come on now. You're trying to talk yourself out of this crazy thought. You're trying to talk yourself out of this behavior. Now, I want to cut them, but if I cut them, I'm going to go to jail. And if I go to jail, I can't support my family. See, you got to talk to yourself. I want to cuss Sister So-and-so out, but if I cuss her out, Pastor's going to tell me I got to sit down because I got a flesh problem. And I like what I do in the ministry. So you got to talk to yourself. Talk it all the way through. Ephesians 5, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now look at this. He said, when you're singing, you're talking to yourself. He said, but some of y'all, you may not even want to hear your own self sing. So just talk to him. Don't have to sing it. He says, speak to yourselves in hymns. The Lord is my light and my salvation. That's a psalm right there. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? The Lord, when wicked, even my enemies, my foe came upon me, deed of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host of them camp around against me, my heart shall not fear. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire in his temple. And you just speak to you get this word, and you talk the word to yourself. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, psalms and hymns may be songs that are already written. A spiritual song is a song that comes out of your spirit. Notice it says spiritual song, not soulless songs. Because soulless songs come out of your feelings, out of your soul, out of your mind, your will, your emotion. But a spiritual song comes out of your spirit. And in your spirit, there's love and there's peace and there's joy. The Holy Spirit resides in your spirit. So all of a sudden, you find yourself saying, I got the victory. I got the victory. The devil can't harm me because I got the victory. All of a sudden, you singing about victory. You all of a sudden, you got yourself a little beat going or whatever, and you rejoicing. And where that song come from? I'm just singing it as unto the Lord. Many times when the Spirit of the Lord starts moving the service, y'all hear me start singing. Those are spiritual songs. Some of y'all are like, there he go, but way back again. So no, yeah, I done went way back in my spirit. A couple months ago, at the end of the service, I started singing a song by the Spirit of God, and this folks start calling the church. What was that song the pastor was singing? Who sang that song? I want to download that on my iPad. Spiritual song. And you can encourage yourself. Psalm 42 and verse 3 through 5. And the reason why it tells us we can do this, because that's what David did. He wrote the Psalms, many Psalms, to encourage himself. Psalm 42 verse 3 through 5. This is what the psalmist says here. My tears have been my meat day and night. He didn't have a short cry. He was having a long cry. I've been crying day and night. And while my tears continually say to me, where is your God? Okay, so his circumstances are overwhelming. He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. If I had gone with the multitude, I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to what? To the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. Now, this little added one, because I only got three. Now, I went with them. You need to bring your hips to church in the midst of your discouragement. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. I need to be around somebody that's praising God. I need to be around somebody that got some joy. I need to be around somebody that has some peace. So I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and with the multitude that kept holy day. He said, I had to get around the saints. Been around the saints all week. You got to get around the saints. He said, and when I got to church, I started talking to myself. I saw everybody around me praising. I saw people around me taking laps. I saw people around me jumping and shouting and clapping their hands and waving their hands. And I wasn't feeling nothing. Oh, come on now. Come on. Any of y'all ever been there? Come on. If you ever been there? I went through that one time and I said, God, you got to help me. As much as I love the praise, as much as I love the worship, and the praise was anointed, the worship was anointed, and I was coming here, I'm like, that song usually moved me. That one usually take me in. But I'm not going in. I'm still on the outside. And I could try to blame it on the minstrels. I could try to blame it on the singers, but I had to blame myself. And say, so you got to get yourself together. You got to shake yourself out of this discouragement. I don't care what you've been through. God is still good. I don't care how you
field. He still sits on the throne. He still sits high. He still looks low. I had to tell myself, get yourself together. Get on up even though you don't feel like it. Raise your hand even though you don't feel like it. Shout and jump even though you don't feel like it. We used to say, shout for joy. So he says, look at this. He says, I had to talk to myself. Why art thou cast down? Aren't you here? Aren't you still in the land of the living? Why are you cast down? I know you lost a car, but you still got your mind. Why are you cast down? I know your child's living rebellious life, but you done heard they ain't the first one that lived rebellious life. Look at that one, and he made it through. And that, why are you cast down? You got a promise from God about this situation. Why are you cast down? Oh, my soul. Why art thou disquieted? Why are you so troubled? Why are you so troubled? Why are you disquieted? You got to start speaking peace to yourself. I have the peace of God. I walk in the peace of God. I walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Troubles all around you. Troubles inside of you. I walk in the peace of God. Nothing troubles me. I cast all my care upon him because he cares for me. I refuse to be burdened. I come unto you, God, because I'm heavy laden. And you said that you give me rest. So right now, God, I receive your rest. Despite everything I'm going through. Why? You got to talk to yourself. Why thou cast to quiet with me? Hope thou in God. What's happening? I'm forgetting about the fact that it ain't over because God's still on the throne. Come on, curse him around and tell him it ain't over as long as God's on the throne. And then he says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his kindness. I shall yet praise him. Yet mean despite what I'm feeling. Despite what I'm going through, despite that looks like the devil has won, despite what I'm feeling, despite what I lost, I still will praise him. I will yet praise him. I'm not praising him because I feel like praising him. I'm praising him because he's worthy to be praised. I'm praising him because I'm letting the devil know you don't run nothing around here. Hey, glory to God. I'm praising him because I'm letting the devil know you don't control my praise. Ah, glory to God. I'm praising him because I'm letting the devil know you still are defeated. You are still under my feet. I'm still saved. I'm still born again. I'm still going to heaven when this is all over. And I got a reason to give God praise. Why art thou cast down? Get yourself together. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He's known as the weeping prophet because he was crying all the time. Always crying. I mean, that ain't exactly a compliment to be known as the weeping prophet. Shouldn't you be known as the prophesying prophet? The big mouth prophet? Always talking the word prophet? He's known as the weeping prophet. But he writes the book of Lamentations. Lamentation means tears. Wailing. But he gets himself together. Lamentation 3 verse 18 through 25. Jeremiah writes, and I said. He started talking to himself. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. That's when he talked in circumstances. I was remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, how bad everything was. My soul hath them still in remembrance. Any of y'all still remember what you went through? He said, my soul still hasn't been remembered and is humbled in me. Why am I humble? Because God brought me out now. He said, so this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Devil's trying to discourage me, but therefore have I hope. The devil, I'm crying, but therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Glory. Look to your neighbor and say, just hold on till the morning. Just Ah, glory to God. If it looks like you ran out of mercy today, just hold on to the morning. There is new mercy in the morning. I know it's only like 12 o'clock, and it seems like you had all you can take. But this ain't all you can take for the rest of your life. Because when you wake up in the morning, there's going to be new mercy and new grace and new strength for what you got to deal with every day. Every day, I got new mercy. So the Lord's mercy will not consume. Then new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Say to me, see, God is faithful. Years ago, I learned to say that. And I'd rather speak my situation. I would say, God is faithful. Bill come, I don't know how I'm going to pay it. God is faithful. Something's happening, I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. God is faithful. Get a bad doctor's report. God is faithful. You just keep talking the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. That mean, what does that mean? He's dependable. He's reliable. He's consistent. He's the same yesterday. He's the same forever. If he did it before, he'll do it again. God is faithful. You can rely on him. He don't change. He's faithful. The Lord is my portion, save my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Then verse 24, the New Living Translation, he said, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. So you got to learn to talk to yourself. Secondly, you got to talk to the Lord about your situation. You got peace that you're forfeiting. You carrying around stuff you don't have to carry. You worrying about stuff you don't have to worry about. All because you talking about it to everybody. You complaining about it. You might even be crying about it. But you have not prayed about it. And y'all need to understand. Praying about it does not always mean asking God what to do about it. Praying means, God, I ain't worried about it. I'm throwing this over on you. You told me to cast. It didn't say just put it. Cast it. The only reason why you're careful with stuff, because you don't want to break it. So you handle it carefully. He said, but that care, cast it. If you break it while you're casting it, it's all right. You don't want it anyway. So while you're going to cast all that care over on him. So you got to talk to the Lord about your situation. Psalm 34 and 6 is one of my favorite scriptures. I love it. David says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. And saved him out of all his troubles. Is the reason why you're still going. And watch this. And listen. And I know this seems like an elementary thing. But you can get so overwhelmed at you talking about it. And you never prayed about it. People have come to me. Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I just don't know. I said, have you prayed about this thing? Because see, when you're overwhelmed, the devil don't want you to pray. So he'll distract you from even remembering, being conscious that God can do something about your situation. Psalm 34 and verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. And so watch this. God, don't you see? God said, yes, I see, but my ears are open to your cry or to your prayers. I see, but you have not asked me to do anything about it. And God is limited based upon you giving him the ability and the right to get involved in your situation. Yes, God said, yeah, I see. My eyes are upon you, but my ears are open to your cry or to your prayer. Ask me to get involved. The earth is given to men. If you want me involved, ask me to get involved. Well, the Lord got it under control. Not if you don't put it under his control. So look at this. Psalm 4, verse 1. It says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. You made things right for me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Verse 3 of Psalm 4. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is goodly, godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Say that. Say, the Lord will hear when I call him.
What do you do when things in your life seem to be spinning out of control and there's no one around to let you know things will be okay? There will be times when you don't have a cheerleader or someone in your corner. It's in those times that you'll have to pat your own self on the back Dr. Herbert Bailey gives you guidelines to encourage yourself in this timely message. Order these resources today for your love gift of $10 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Encourage Yourself. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. If you have been blessed by this broadcast, please email or send a letter sharing your testimony. Email us at praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. We'd love to partner with you in taking the Word of God to places where it's rare and precious. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, call us in Columbia at 803-798-1230 or in Orangeburg at 803-531-7322 or toll free at 877-798-5433. You may also visit us on the web at rightdirection.info. Continue to listen to that still small voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it."